Today's daf is daf lamed zayin. We got to the bottom of lamed vav and beis. The two dots. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: Melamdo midrash halachos vagados, aval lo yilamdenu mikra. The Mishnah is telling us the person is madir in ishana from the mudar. So the Rebbe, if the Talmud, let's say, cannot get hana from the Rebbe, so the Rebbe is still allowed to teach him medrash, could teach him halacha, could teach him agadah, but he may not teach him psukim. He cannot teach him any form of Tanakh. So I want some mikra my time alone. So why is there a restriction? What's hana? In general, the assumption right now is teaching Torah is not considered hana, seemingly because mitzvah lav lehenos. There's no hana when learning mitzvah, even though a person might be getting hana, there's a geshmak out of it, but we don't view that as a hana. So why by psukim is there any difference when teaching psukim, teaching Tanakh? Why is it aser? My mikra my time alone, yom denu, mishum dekamahani le, because you get hana. So Gemara says, wait a second, if you're getting hana from learning psukim, so medjish nami kamahani le. So also when you're learning medjish, which is an explanation of psukim, there's also going to be a certain amount of hana as well. So already here, the Ran throws in, when one reads this Gemara, you would think it talks about the hana, the geshmak a person gets. But the Ran already says, not referring to the geshmak a person gets, the last line of the Ran here, he says, mikra mai time alo yilam denu, mishum de kamahani le, im kishe'enu noto mimenu schar. He's not taking money for this. So typically, a person would hire a Rebbe to teach him Tanakh. So if the guy's teaching him for free, the Rebbe's teaching him for free, and he's not taking his schar, so the Talmud is now saving some money, not hiring the tutor. The Medrash also says the very same reason is if the guy doesn't pay for the tutor, there also will be hana on the part of the Talmud of not having to hire the Rebbe. Now, I believe the Gemara talks about the schar later on. I just wonder why so early in the Havamina here, the Ran says this. Other Mefarshim argue on this in the Havamina? I don't see anybody who argues on this. Let's see. Okay, the Gemara is about to quote the answer, but the Gemara ends up saying, so Amar Shmuel b'makom shenotlin schar al hamikra ve'notlin schar al hamedrash. We're talking about a situation where it was typical that a tutor or a Rebbe would be hired to teach psukim, but one would not hire a tutor to teach medrash. If a person wanted to be willing to give up his time to teach medrash, that was on his own time, but he wouldn't be paid for it. So therefore, if a Talmud were to be taught from a Rebbe Tanakh without having to pay, then the Talmud would be getting hanuk because he's saving that money. That's why it would be usher. Come to teaching medrash, no one hired a Rebbeim to teach medrash, so when the Rebbe were to teach him, the Talmud's not getting any hanuk, and therefore that would be mutter. My Pascha, what's the distinction? Dafka, we're talking about a case of mikra, people teach for money, but people don't teach medrash for money. So Gemara tells us the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Hakamashon, this teaches us that the afilu b'makom shenolin schar al hamikra, shari the mishkal, but ala medrash lo shari the mishkal. The halacha is the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph now teaches us the following klal. Then a situation where a person wants to take money for teaching psukim, he's allowed to. There's no problem taking money to teach Tanakh. But if a person wants to take money for teaching medrash, that is usher to do. Nice. Yeah. So why is that? Gemara explains.
So I can never make money.
Can I make money?
I can never make money.
If you teach Tanakh, you can make money. You probably know Tanakh better than anybody else here.
Tanakh?
You're always quoting psukim and telling them.
It's one book.
It's a big book. 150 prakim. Fine. So then the Gemara says, Maishna medrash delo. Why can you not take money for teaching medrash? Dechse, the pasuk tells us, Vosi tziva Hashem beisahi, lamed eschem, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem had commanded me at that moment to teach you. Uksiv, and it's also written, Re'e lamati eschem, chukim mishpatim, kasher tzivanu Hashem. And you should see that I taught you the rules like Hashem commanded me. So what's a comparison of Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ma ani b'chinam af atem na'ami b'chinam. Says the Medrash, so the Gemara Darshan, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches, obviously for free, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take any schar for this, he teaches for free. So to you, says this connection to Psukim, so to you, when you teach Psukim, you should teach for free. So again, ma ani b'chinam af atem na'ami b'chinam, mikra na'ami b'chinam. How do you wait? One second.
Psukim.
Well, how do we know this is talking about psukim only? Because I guess only psukim existed right then. Let's see. Let's see what the Ran says here. See the Ran, the top Ran on the page. He says, "Amar Shmuel b'makom shenotlin tzchar al mikra ve'notlin tzchar al medrash al medrash lo shari le mishkal." You cannot take money for teaching medrash. Near be'nai d'hachi perusha. Medina motel litol tzchar al mikra v'lo al medrash k'mifarsh v'azel. Mikadin, one's only allowed to take money for teaching Tanakh, but he may not take money for teaching Medrash. Miu. There are those, however, not the Gemara, this is him adding in now, there are those Rebbeim who are actually makbid not to take money even for Mikra, lest it lead to them taking money even for Medjush. Those areas, afilu Mikra yachol lamdo, sharei mecheven sheachmir alatzman lemitzvah einan rashayin litol schar havelei Mikra kimedjush lechol hamekomos. So those places, they're able to teach. They should be machmir. If you live in that place, a person should be machmir not to take any money even for the mikra. Our situation, the Mishnah is talking about a situation, a place where they did had no such chumra, where they would take money for teaching Tanakh. And only in those places, they'd only be able to take money for teaching Tanakh. And that's the reason why our Mishnah, the Talmud may not learn from the Rebbe if he doesn't hire him, because the Talmud is now saving money. But a Rebbe may not take money for teaching, so therefore, when a Rebbe teaches Medrash to a Talmud, he's not getting enough from his Rebbe because he wouldn't pay for him anyways. You're not allowed to pay for Medrash. You're not chayv to pay nischar. Learning itself, the mitzvah is not ninu. So that addresses the point we said earlier. So there are two points here. One is the schar to hire, and one is the actual enjoyment of learning. The Ron says at the end here, he completely buttresses that last point, that there's no hana in learning. Even though there is hana, we don't view that as hana because mitzvah is lav lehenos ninu. In terms of the whole previous discussion, we said that mikra is one may take schar, but medrash one may not take schar. The Ron doesn't explain to us the whole drash here. Well, let's finish that. Keep going in the Ron now. Ulin halacha kaimalan. We conclude hachi de al hamedrash lo shari l'mishka. One may not take money for teaching medrash. Miu hani milis schar lima. This is a very, very important heter for Rebbeim. Miu hani milis schar lima. This only talks about the schar of actually learning. Aval agar batla shari. But the time, the waste of time that you could have otherwise been an investment banker, let's say, so you have to compensate his time for that. That's permitted to be paid. The Yishami says, this is the Garcin and Hasim Yachal Af Al HaMikra V'Targum Kain. One might think also one may not take money for Psukim and for the Targum. Tamalomar Chukim Mishpatim, Chukim Mishpatim Atam Lamdim Ichinam. When it comes to teaching Halacha and Medrash, whatever those mean, whatever Chukim Mishpatim represent, that one has to teach for free. V'Atam Lamdim Ichinam Mikra V'Targum. But one does not teach Psukim and Targum for free. V'Chein Chami Mesnisa Nesavin Agrin Amar Biyudin B'Rishimah Shachar Batlan Heim Nolim. Interesting here that the Yushami couples together the Targum with Mikra itself. Okay, so we see from here that one can take money for teaching Mikra, and even Medrash if it's Schar Batal. So continuing the Ron. Now the Ron has to explain the Drasha to us. Maishna Medrash Delo Ksiv V'Os Delo D'Ksiv V'Os Yesh Siv Hashem Be'Isahi. The Pasuk said that Moshe was saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded him. Haikra Maisi. This pasuk is being brought lashmeinan demotion nitztava lilmod Torah liYisrael. This is the pasuk that tells us that Moshe was commanded to teach Klai Yisrael Torah. Uksiv, another pasuk quotes Ran, Re'ei lemadati eschem chukim u'shvatim kasher tzivani Hashem. You should see that I taught you Torah like Hashem commanded me. Kolomar, says the Ran, shet tzivani lilmod b'chinam. I was commanded to teach for free. Di lo kasher tzivani amaykai. If it's not referring to this, what exactly is Asher Tzivani going back on? It must be referring to that he was commanded, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded himself to teach. The Lek Lameimar Bischar, one cannot say Bischar, Dehechi Lema Kasher Tzivanu Lechit Tzival B'kach Lo Sagi Del Lishkal Igra. I'm not getting this, hold on. Okay, the Lek Lameimar, one cannot say Bischar, that he has to take money for teaching. Dehechi Lema Kasher Tzivanu Lechit Tzival B'kach. How could he say, like, I was commanded? Was he commanded to take schar? Certainly not. Lo sagi, lo lishka igra. If he wasn't taking schar, Moshe couldn't teach? Certainly not. V'lekel meimer nami, di kashet tzivani hachi kamar, kashet tzivani v'lo me'atzmi, ani omer. Divad de Yisrael lo hayu mefakvim b'kach, d'haksiv b'cha yamin. Lo'olom, elevad de hachi kamar, kashet tzivani v'lamed b'chinam. Okay, he's trying to figure out how we got to this conclusion, but at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to teach for free. And the next line there, so what are we learning from all of this now? Now, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to teach for free, so to you, all the other future teachers of Kaisa have to teach for free. So that's the that's the klal. So that's the Gemara. As in Mikra Nami, go back to the Gemara for a second. Let's try to put this all together. Let's go back three lines from the top. Maishna Medrash Tila. Why is it true that Medrash cannot be one cannot take money? back to the Gemara, three lines down. My shna medjish delo. Why is it true that one cannot take money for teaching medjish? Dechsev again vosi tziva Hashem beisahile lamed eschem. Hashem commanded me to teach you for free. Uksiv, and another pasuk says v'rei lamati eschem chukim mishpatim kasher tzivanu Hashem, and I taught you, and you should continue to teach for free. Ma'ani b'chinam, just like I taught for free. So to you, the future teachers should teach for free. Yeah. So what is line mikra nami bechinam?
Because it was tzivui from Hashem. It didn't say teach and take money. So therefore, it says ani bechinam afatem.
So why by mikra are they allowed to collect?
Oh, that's it. As a shy. Ah, okay. So here goes. So mikra nami bechinam. So also. Wait a second, we say mikra nami bechinam, no? I'm saying mikra, you have to get paid for . So just like Moshe Rabbeinu taught for free, so you have to teach for free. So if that's the case, so even mikra nami bechinam, so also teaching Tanakh, you should have to teach for free, and you shouldn't be able to collect schar. Up until now, we assumed a Rebbe can take money for teaching Tanakh, just not for Medrash. This pasuk, that has no distinction between Tanakh and Medrash, it seems to say across the board, a Rebbe could never take any money. So teaching Tanakh should also be done for free. And to that answers Rav Amar Schar Shimur. Rav said, no, the schar you get here is for protecting, for guarding, to looking, watching over the children. Says the Rashi, Ran rather, Rav Amar Schar Shimur, the mistama lom de mikra ktanim. Usually the ones who are teaching, being taught Tanakh are the little kids, but Shich and Shimur, they require discipline. You have to watch over them, make sure not to get into trouble. Are you right? You can't take any money for the teaching, but you can take money for the watching over and the supervising of the children. Okay. So therefore, the schar for the Tanakh is for the schar shimur. But according to Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Amar schar pisuk tamim. The schar is not for the learning, it's for the stopping of the pause. And what does that mean? Says the Ran. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, schar pisuk tamim, shemalamdim lahem tamim. They teach them the trup. The lav midiraisa ninu. The trup is not deraisa. There's a gemara later on about it being deraisa. I thought, okay. The Ran assumes here that's not deraisa. Hokach lo hayu bechlal chukim mishpatim. So tamim was not included in the psukim of chukim mishpatim. It wasn't included in the drasha that you have to teach for free. So that's the difference. Is the schar when a person teaches Tanakh, you're either getting paid schar for the shimur or you're getting paid schar for the pisuk tamim. Now the nafkamina would be that let's say you're teaching young kids Gemara Mishnah or Medrash, so according to Schar Pisuk Tamim, that's not there. There's no Schar Pisuk Tamim anymore. But if it's about Schar Shimur, then there still would be a Schar Shimur for teaching young children Medrash.
Just you don't typically teach young kids Medrash, and that's why Gemara assumes that by Medrash you don't get Schar, and by Mikra you get Schar. Measures or something that requires a more mature mind.
But if you do teach children, the little measure says, let's say, where they could, understand it better, so then maybe there would be schar shimur. And the Ran brings a nafkamina here. What nafkamina does he bring? He says, Ika mbein rav the Rabbi Yochanan. There's a nafkamina between these two answers. Lamed mikra the other one, he says, Lamed mikra lagado dilo by shimur. Teaching Tanakh to an older person is going to be nafkamina. Because according to Rav, it's going to be usher because you're still teaching psik tamim. Wait a second here. Okay, he says this is the goof of the machlokas. You see that? De la Rav usher. According to Rav, it's usher to teach a gadol the psik tamim deraisa. Rav holds psik tamim deraisa. That's the machlokas Rav Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan shari mishum schar psik tamim. He thinks psik tamim is mutter. So you see that difference there? So even though according to Rav, There's no schar shimur anymore. You don't have to watch gedolim, obviously, but you cannot teach.
And you can't get paid for pisuk tamim.
Because that's also deraisa. You can't get paid for mikra. That's certainly deraisa. And pisuk tamim, he is also assuming, is also deraisa. So you can't get paid for teaching mikra to gedolim. Only according to Rabbi Yochanan, who thought schar pisuk tamim is mutter, and there's no issue of shimur for gedolim, then you can get paid to teach Tanakh for gadol. That Ran concludes, came in the Kaim Lon, the Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan, that's the Klal. You always follow Rabbi Yochanan over Rav. That filu migadol shari lital schar al mikra, and you can even get paid to teach a gadol mikra. Lechein heim devei Ramam, the parak vav, mihilchos nidar. Okay. Back to the Gemara now. The Gemara now says, Tanan. Where it brings a mission, our very mission, lo yilam denu mikra. Person takes a nether, you can't get enough from a certain individual, that Rebbe may not teach the mudar any mikra. Why? Because seemingly he's going to be taking schar, he's not having to pay the schar for the Rebbe, will be the hana. So bishmal mandamar schar pisuk tamim, the schar that one typically pays a Rebbe in Tanakh, is schar pisuk tamim, hainu dilo yilam denu. That's why you can hire him. Well, that's why you can't have him teach you, because you're saving the schar that you would have otherwise paid for teaching pisuk tamim. Elman damer schar shimur gadol bar shimur hu. So if the person says the schar you would typically pay a mikra, a rebbe in Tanakh, would be for the schar of protecting, of guarding me. So does a gadol require shimur? Certainly not. And the Gemara assumes at this stage that we're talking about a gadol, because I would imagine that only gadol can make a neder. You have to be of a certain age. It's called onus nedarim, I think. If a certain age can make a neder. So if we're talking about a gadol doesn't require shimur. So he wouldn't have to pay. He would not have to hire a rebbe for Tanakh. Again, normally when you have a rebbe for Tanakh, you don't pay him for the teaching he gives. You pay him for either the pisuk tamim, or you pay him for the schar shimur. You assume the schar is the shimur, gadol doesn't require shimur, so you're not saving any money because you're a gadol. And the Gemara answers, no, we're talking about b'katan katani. We're talking about a katan.
Because it's the mudar we're talking about. We're talking about the madar.
Exactly, the mudar. So I assume they have to talk about not any katan can make it. If you look at the age.
But the katan didn't make it. It was somebody else. Who,
it could be a parent. And
the parent? Would that be chal? Parent says that my son can't learn from you.
Can it be that the teacher said you're not getting enough from
it? Oh, it could be that also. This teacher said it. You could say that, yeah. You think you said it for someone else?
But
yeah.
It's not the Muder specifically about learning Torah.
Oh yeah.
It's Muder Ana'a, and through learning you're receiving Ana'a.
No, I'm one, but a katan has to be of a certain age, a certain das, to be able to make a nether. A 3-year-old can't make a nether, it won't work.
No. You make it's nether. The gadol make
a, so the teacher.
The teacher makes a nether on the katan.
Okay, so that's one way.
You get anah for me.
Okay.
And by you learning, teaching me, it's kind of anah.
The point is he's saving money. The father's saving money, they would have had to pay.
The father would have paid for it. So the father says,
it's not the non-learning itself, but the non that you save money that you would have
saved. So the father says, I can't get enough from you, this person. Now he wants his son to be, he wants his son to learn for this Rebbe now. He can't because the father is saving money from not having. Okay, I know it's about schar, but my question was, who's taking the nether? So I thought that like, the mudar was the one taking the nether from the madir. That's why my initial assumption. David says, no, it's possible the mother could take the nether. That you can't get enough from me, says the Rebbe. And you're saying, no, the father of the child could say.
I think it could be the Rebbe saying, you can't get enough from me, but then the father is getting enough because he doesn't have to pay the money.
Okay, I agree. Okay. But in that light, you could still say, now the father could also take the nether. That the father cannot get enough from this Rebbe.
Right.
And when his son learns, that would be a violation because he's getting enough, not having to hire him. Now that, by the way, assumes that the father has an obligation to hire Rebbe for his, the father has an obligation. Okay, let's see what the Ran says here. The Ran says, if you go three wide lines down in the Ran, the end of the line, big katan, the havi hai mudar katan, the mudar is talking about a katan, the afa gav the katan ochal nevelos, even though a katan eats nevelos, ain't based in mitzvah and the half rishon, the Gemara Yavamas tells us, but you see a katan who's eating Nevela, tray for something. Bezin is not obligated to separate him. Now, Bezin is different than a father. A father would have to, but Bezin wouldn't have to. Afil hachi, lo safin levi adayim. We still don't hand it to him. We can't give him Nevela and tray. But if he's eating it, we could be passive. We can't proactively participate him in eating. Uch shimlamdo harehu mahanao. And when he teaches him, you're being mahana him.
Yes, the Ram does think it's the cousin.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do we get about this nether? So either we're talking about, again, a katan who's of age, he knows onus nedarim, I think that's the phrase we use, or it's where the Rebbe took the nether.
Katan,
anybody say?
Katan mufla samuch leish, 12 years old.
Okay, there you go. So that's the age. Okay. Gemara now says, where are we? Iba katan. If now we are mokim this Mishnah to be talking about a katan, and the katan therefore cannot learn from this Rebbe because he took a neder, ema seifa. But look at the seifa. Aval melamed is banav mikra. But the Gemara now, where iba katan, you see that? Iba katan, if we're talking about a katan, the katan's the individual who took the neder, ema seifa. But look at the end of the Mishnah that says, aval melamed is banav mikra. But the katan who took the neder, we'll call him the mudar, can have the Rebbe, the Madir, teach the katan's children. This gets into our discussion right now. He could teach the children of the katan. So the Gemara says, wait a second, a katan bar banim, who? Katanim can have children, they're not old enough to have children, they're not able to. So what's going on here? So obviously cannot be talking about a katan here. So back to square one, of what's the situation here? Where a gadol who were to take a neder, if you assume the schar of mikra is a schar of shimur, a gadol doesn't require shimur, so therefore a gadol doesn't have to ever hire a rebbe for tanach. So a gadol may get hana from a rebbe in tanach because there's no schar he would have otherwise paid. And the Gemara says, no, it's a chasur mechzra. There is something missing in the mishnah. The way the mishnah should be read is as follows: halchi katani, lo ilam denu mikra bekatan, but im haya gadol mlam do lo ulavan of mikra. So, no, the Mishnah itself is making such a distinction. The Mishnah says, one cannot teach, if the katan's the mudar, then the Rebbe cannot teach the katan, because the katan's saving the money he would have otherwise paid for the schar shimur. But if we're dealing with a gadol, and a gadol doesn't require any shimur, so then a Rebbe can teach the gadol, and he could even teach the children of the gadol, even though a katanim requires shimur, you're allowed to teach the gadol's children. Why is that, though? Because there's no hanah for the gadol directly?
Because the father is there. They don't need shimur.
Let's say the father sends him off. Voilà. Let's say the father sends him off to yeshiva without them.
Not
interesting. Oh, okay. Let's see. Let's see. The Ran says, "Im hayagadol melame lo ulavanu mikra lo delav bayishimar." He doesn't require shimur, so that's what the gadol is allowed to learn from this rebbe. Levan of nami afagav de bayishimar. Don't they require shimur? Lo mitaser tve mizan esbanav vesbnosa. It's no worse than the gemaras we've seen elsewhere. Was the gemara in Ksuvis?
Yeah.
Or later on, Zong Subas, I think also, that a person who, if I can't get enough from a certain person, he can feed my children, though. That's not considered hana for me. Even though he's saving money for me, that's not considered hana. I don't remember the reason why. Anyone remember the reason why that's permitted? It's indirect? Was that the issue? Uh-huh. The way it's explained here is that because the reason why the Rebbe is teaching the children, he's not doing this because the mudar, because he likes the mudar, because he has an obligation as a Rebbe to teach Bnei Israel Torah, and therefore it's not viewed as a hana for the Rebbe. That's what the footnote says. This is based on the Rand explanation later on in Daf Lamed Ches, and that sugya of being a feeding one's children and wife. So we'll have to hold off on that to appreciate that further. Is there any Rush or Tosos here comment on this?
The parish says what David said.
Oh yeah.
The end of a hachitani lo yil matenim mikra katan.
I don't see that one.
So,
ah. Yeah, see that Mefarish.
Who?
The Mefarish, the Rashi. It's not really Rashi. We call him the Mefarish. He's the commentator on the side. So hachitani, it says the Mefarish lo yil amdenu mikra katan. So what it means to say you cannot teach your children katan bechinam mishum dekam mahani leiv shchar shimur. You're saving money of paying for the watching over of the children. Aval im haya gadol milam delo ulevana mikra gadol mishum dehi ulo tzarach shimur velo kamani le ulevana of nami. You could even teach the children of this gadol hol ve'avian imahem, like you said, David, who umishamram velekes char shimur. The father watches over them. But according to that, if, let's say, they were sent off on their own to go to school, then there would be a necessity of schar shimur. So according to Mefarish, there would be an Isser in that case. But according to the Ran, there would not be an Isser in the case where you send the kids off on their own. Right, so the Rush has something interesting also. You see the Rush. He says, "Im haya gadol milame lo levana mikra." You could teach the children of this gadol lo mishum de gadol hu lo bayishimur ve'nolun laschar ulevana of mishum de mitzvah ka'avid. That's what the Mesifta was trying to explain here, because you're doing a mitzvah, and there's a girsa issue here, and ve'lo bayishimur ve'lo mahani lo midi. So what's that footnote taking us to? The mem.
I
afilu by shimur, even if they require shimur, it's supposed to be afilu, even if the young children require shimur, since the Rebbe is doing a mitzvah of teaching the children, there's no violation here. So that requires some explanation. What do you mean? When you teach the gadol, also there's a mitzvah being involved. So why is the difference whether it's a gadol or not?
Mitzvah on the Rebbe, or meaning mitzvah on the...
I thought the mitzvah was on the Rebbe, but why would that be different teaching the gadol? The mitzvah on the father, you think?
And we said that if you go direct to the katam and he's the muder, it is a problem.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be. If it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. So I don't understand pshat in the rush here.
The lamed best.
Right. We have to get to. We have to try to understand that though. Let's see. Right, so the way there's a masift in the back, he explains the Perish Harash. He adds in, since the Rebbe is doing a mitzvah, and the Mudar is getting Hana only begramaso through Grama, which the Rush doesn't say that, it's not indicated there at all. He adds in Grama, that's why it's permitted. It's indirect. We suggested that. I'm not sure if that's the Kavana of the Rush. But the footnote here points to the sugi later on, Daf Lamed Ches. So again, we probably have to wait there to appreciate this better. Okay. Back to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Meisive, more than halfway down, Meisive, Tinokos lo korin betchila b'Shabbos. A child who's starting to learn Tanakh, different psukim, he should not begin any psukim he's never seen before, he should not begin on Shabbos, because it brings tsar, elashonin berishon, Shon Barishon. What does that mean, Shon Barishon? So let's look at the Ran here. The Ran says, Ela Shon Barishon, teach on Sunday. That's what it means, yeah? I think it means the first, you could teach on the first time. Let's see. Says the Ran, Ela Shon Barishon, Im Karu Pam Rishon, if you had read once already, Lifnei HaShabbos, before Shabbos, then Shonin also B'Shas, you can repeat it. Shonin is usually Lashon of Shniya, double. You could do a Chazara on Shabbos, Av Pishihi Chazara Rishonin. Even though it's your first time going repeating it, it's still a Chazara, and that's permitted. Which is just, by the way, a fascinating thing, that how far we take the Indian of Onik Shabbos, that even when it comes to Tsar, Tsar of reading, of learning, breaking one's teeth, one should not break their teeth on any type of learning on Shabbos. It's not uncovered, not Onik Shabbos. So Bishlema. What?
That only applies to Tinokos?
No, it seemingly would apply, right? They probably higher standards and expectations of Gdolim, that we probably knew everything, but I would imagine even for... So this would be interesting, that person first time going through Daf Yomi, and would he be allowed to learn that Daf if it's breaking his teeth?
Sampatu.
Right. So Gemara says, Bishlema leman da'amar shtchar pisuk tamim. According to the one who thinks the schar you typically play a Rebbe for Tanakh is because of schar of teaching you how to do the trap. That's why you don't read initially on Shabbos. Oh, I was assuming it's about tsar. Okay, let's see. Eleman de Amar, so why wouldn't you read on Shabbos in that case? I'm not getting the connection to schar. Let's look at the Ran here. The Ran says, "Bishlema leman damer schar pisuk tamim haynu dein korn b'tchil v'shabbos l'fi she'ikah schar inu el ala kriya rishona she'tiracha meruba." The schar you really pay is the first time through the breaking of the teeth, the first time through the psukim and memorizing the trap. That's what you pay for. Mishum hachi ein korn b'tchil v'shabbos the schar shabbos aser. I was assuming it's about tsar. The Ran says it has to do with Schar Shabbos. You cannot hire someone on Shabbos if you have group leaders. You can't hire group leaders if they're exclusively for Shabbos. If they're doing preparations during the week and running Chol Moed trips, so then you could have a Havlah. But if it's just for Shabbos, so you cannot hire a Rebbe for Shabbos. When you pay a Rebbe, you're paying for the first time when he teaches your child. All the Chazars afterwards, you don't pay for that. That's just free. So that's explained if you assume it's Schar Pisik Tamim. But back to the Gemara now, Ella, if it's Laman Damar Schar Shimor, Amai Ein Korn B'Tchil B'Shabbos, Amai Shon B'Rishon. What's the difference? If it's Schar Shimor, the child needs Shimor just as much as he needs Shimor learning the first time, he needs Shimor going through the second time. So it should be also even shown. There should be never any teaching of, there should never be groups through on Shabbos because you have to hire the Rebbe and the counselors. So Gemara gives the answer. We just said, again, so ha'ikar, ikar schar shimur Shabbos. There's always going to be a problem of schar shimur Shabbos. Or he says, wait a second. According to your reason, Schar Pisuk B'Shabbos Mi Aser? Wait a second. Is, let's say you wanted to teach your child for the first time, Hai Rebbe, for the first time going through Pesukim on Shabbos. Is that really problematic? Havlahi. Havlah Mishra Shari. What's the problem here? If you hire him through the entire week, you're just being Mavliya, you're just going to absorb the costs of Shabbos within the rest of the week, and you view it as a 6-day paid job, and he gives you a freebie on Shabbos. So it's completely mutter through Havlah. So here too also, it should be permitted as well, of the Schar Shimer. Your Rebbe teaches the Talmud, your children, every day of the week, so you pay him for the 6 days of the week, and the 7th day is a freebie. How do we know that Havlah is mutter, that you could hire someone over the course of the entire week or month or year, and we don't view it as Schar Shabbos? The time that Baisa tells us that Hasoches a poel lishmoras hatinok lishmoras haparo lishmoras azroim ein nosin lo Schar Shabbos. Person hires a babysitter. A person hires a guy to watch his cows or to watch his field. You cannot pay for any of the work he's doing on Shabbos. Lefikach, therefore, im avdu eino chai b'achrisun. If while watching over the child or the cow or the zeroim, he loses your child, Rechman Litzlan, or any of your other properties, he's not responsible to pay because he's not a show. He's at that point a shomer chinam. A shomer chinam, the Gemara's in the mission, Baba Metzia tells us, a shomer chinam is pater from all things. Unless he's posheya, if someone gets stolen or lost, he's not chayv to pay anything. He's pater. So a group leader on Shabbos who might lose a kid is pater from anything that happens because he's a shomer chinam. He's not being paid for that Shabbos. But im hayasachir Shabbos, if he's hired for the entire week, or sachar chodesh, he's hired for the month, or sachar shana, entire year, or sachar shavur, hired for the entire 7-year cycle, then nosin lo schar Shabbos, you can pay the schar Shabbos, and then he would be considered a shomer sachar. The fikach im avdu chay b'achrisun, and if he were to lose a child, a cow, or any other property, he would be responsible like any other typical shomer sachar. So we see from here, though, it's permitted to pay for work done on Shabbos through Havlah, as long as it's not exclusively for Shabbos, as long as it's lumped together with a week, a month, a year, or a Shemitah cycle, then you could pay for Shabbos. So here too also, when you hire the Rebbe to teach, whether you're hiring for the Schar Shimur, or you're hiring for the Schar Pisuk Tamim, you could just do Havlah through the entire week, and it's permitted. So then the question becomes, Ella, Gavi Shabbos, Hainu Taima. What's the reason why the Ein Korin B'tchila? So what's the problem with hiring a Rebbe to teach for the very first time? He's going through Bereishis. You cannot teach him Pesukim for the first time on Shabbos. By the way, this is very nogeya for teaching kids for the Bar Mitzvah also, of course. This is going to be very, very halach l'maisa. So why can you, the kids are going through the first Aliyah on Shabbos, why can you not? Mishum difnu avosan dienugda the mitzvasa de Shabbos. So what do those lines mean? Let's look at the Ran here. You see the Ran, the first narrow line down on Lama Zayin Mabez, difnu avun dienuka le mitzvasa de Shabbos. She avos hatinokos, the fathers of the children, ponim le mitzvah Shabbos, they turn to mitzvah Shabbos, who mishtashin im hatinokos, and they enjoy the time of Shabbos with their children, v'mikaro hatinokos le chachila yachushu le vitulam, and if they end up teaching the kids psukim, it's going to take away from their enjoyment of Shabbos. So if you look, the Mefarish, I think it's a little clearer. You see the Mefarish, around 6 narrow lines down, Difnu avhasan diyunuka lemitzvasan dilahon, shim hayu asukin lehakrosan bitchila. If they're struggling learning psukim for the first time, breaking their teeth, bitchila, bedavar chadash, something new, hayu true to man, they're going to be so engrossed in it. Well, hayu ponum lemitzvah Shabbos lesanikbo, and they're not going to pay any attention, have any focus for the enjoyment of Shabbos. Aval shonin hol v'kvar lamdu lo mitzvah debuhu. But if it's something that they already learned once before, they'll go through it quickly, and it won't take away at all from their own Shabbos. And that's the idea here. What's interesting is, I assumed that the actual breaking of teeth is going to be tsar for them. That's the problem. It's too much tsar. The Gemara says that it's not the problem of tsar, it's just going to be so overwhelming and involved, it won't allow them to have onig Shabbos. There's no tsar involved in breaking the teeth itself, that's what it sounds like. It's going to be too time-consuming to allow for other types of onig Shabbos.
The English seems to imply that it's the onig Shabbos of the parents, especially the father, not the kid.
Uh-huh.
That the father, he won't want to interrupt to play with the kids, or come and let's have it's time for Shabbos lunch, whatever. He's not going to break in when the kid's learning new material because he needs to concentrate.
So the only
just reviewing stuff. So I say, hey, come on, let's just review. Come on, let's go out and play something.
So the only Shabbos is for the parent to play with the kids. Yeah. That's amazing. I love playing games with my kids. I do it for myself, not for them. But they have other. Is that what Pshat is? Wow.
Well, the Rosh says that it's going to take a long time to teach them, and the fathers just want to go.
It's the same thing. The Hebrew Suda. Don't.
The father won't have time for the Suda.
They won't have time. They'll go later.
The school children will afford new material. The father will be reluctant to disturb them, and therefore deprive themselves of Shabbos.
The Ron uses the funny lashon. He says mitzvah Shabbos.
It says that they don't want to stop them from learning.
Only mitzvah Shabbos. They're open for the mitzvah Shabbos of Shabbos and being bothered with the kids.
Yeah,
There's a very, very interesting Ron here, and both of them actually. There's an Indian to hang out and play games with the children, Shashuim. I know it comes up also in Yonder, they mentioned such a concept. The Gemara in Beita tells us, if you remember, that one's allowed to carry outside. There's no concept of Erev on Shabbos, on Yonder rather. You could carry outside even without an Erev. But there's Machlokes Rashi Tosfos, whether that just you could carry anything or only something with Tzarach Mitzvah. So the example of Tzarach Mitzvah is in Tias Lulav, Sefer Torah, Bris Milah. So what about pushing a stroller, walking, holding a kid outside? Is there a mitzvah involved? So it's brought down in the post, and Mishnah Berurah says that if the children get a certain amount of enjoyment by spending time with his father, that's considered a mitzvah also, so you could hang out and push a stroller with your children, because that's enjoyment. So I always understood the way the Mishnah Berurah presents, if I remember correctly, I thought it was that the child gets certain enjoyments out of this. But the way the Ron is presenting it and the way the article says it, it's really that the father is getting the onik Shabbos to hang out with the children, which I think is a wonderful thing. I don't know if it's always the case, unfortunately. They feel like it's, if I go off, I think they feel like the children need to be hanged out with, so the father has to give time, so the children feel like they have some attention. But not always the case that the father themselves are enjoying the hangout time. They view it as more of a burden.
Hardest day of the week.
Right? There you have it.
They're such good fathers that they tell kids, I want you to have a gun. Go hang out.
Exactly.
You should have Shabbos. Go hang out.
If there was a Malami to know, you could take the kid for 7 hours, break his head over tomorrow while I go sleep.
Okay, but here you have it.
This one will take you some time.
Now, anything in the Tosa Rush on this concept? Right, interesting here. The Rush is focusing on the Suda. That's what you were saying. You were saying the Rush. I think it's the Mefarsh, the Rush.
Rush.
Right, the Rush is explaining based on the Suda. Okay. All right. Interesting. It's an interesting. Mar Malcolm. Okay. Continuing the Gemara now. The Gemara says, so again, the issue with learning the first thing on Shabbat, the first time on Shabbat, a new piece, is that it's going to take away. It's too overwhelming, and it's going to take away from the Onik Shabbos, whether it be the Suda, whether it be hanging out with the kids. There's some level of chisaron of mitzvahs Onik Shabbos. Ibai Zema. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests Mishum de Beshabasa Achlim Veshasin. The Yoker Lein Alma, person eats and drinks a lot on Shabbos, as we know well, and the Yoker Lein Alma, and the world becomes heavy on him. Literally, the Yoker is to be heavy or pressure, but in this case, heavy. Says the Ran, the Yoker Aleihun Alma Al Hatinokos Shmitoch Sheachlu Yosmi Mashe Darchan Lechol Bechol. They eat more than they normally eat. Avarim Kevedim Alem. They become feel very heavy and tired and exhausted. Ven Yecholun Lomod Betchila Shetarchin Ruba. They don't have the strength to sit and learn something new because they're so tired and exhausted. Kedamar Shmuel, like Shmuel would say, Shuni Vesis Tchilas Choli Me'ayimim. Then when a person changes his normal routine, it's the beginning stage of someone getting sick. So since children are young and they're considered Choli Shein B'Sakana, typically they're already considered sick as in fragile, so by them changing their habit of eating on the Shabbos, it's not healthy for them to strain them even further in learning something new. Then the Gemara says, "Leman damar, the one who holds schar pizuk tamim, my time alone, or schar shimur." So let's go. We had two different reasons why a rebbe gets paid for teaching Tanakh. Either it's because schar shimur, because he has to watch over the little children, or because the teaching of the pizuk tamim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, which is not a din deraisa, which is a new added thing of the anshe knesset gadola of how to do the trap. So why don't they hold of each other? Again, the man damar schar pizuk tamim. The schar rebbe would get would be for teaching the trap. My time alone, or schar shimur. Why doesn't he hold of the schar is for the watching over of the children? Kisavar banos nami banos mika bain shimur. So it says, what about children teaching girls? Rather, do girls require shimur? Certainly not. Girls are much better behaved than the boys are. That's one assumption. Assumption two is also that one teaches girls Tanakh as well.
What about Tudat? Tanakh is free and Mikra is charged, right?
No. So, Tanakh you get paid for.
Yeah. Tanakh you get paid.
You get paid for, yeah.
And Midrash is for free.
Exactly.
So why don't you take Midrash on Shabbos? There's no Shimon, there's no Schar.
Right. Well, we're talking about, we're just trying to figure out this case here. No, that's a different point. The Gemara, Einachanami probably could learn Medrash if Medrash wasn't considered hard. Einachanami. Yeah. But now we're talking about back to forget Shabbos, just in general. Why does the one who holds Schar Pizik Tamim, teaching the Chab, does not hold the Svar of Schar Shimur? Because they assume that girls don't require Shimur. So again, assumption one is girls don't require Shimur. That could be subject to change, depending on the times. When women, girls typically are not as wild, obviously. Number two is it assumes that girls are taught Tanakh. Number three, it assumes that girls are taught the trup as well. Right? That's a fascinating thing that comes out of here. Okay, I don't see any comments on this.
All the farshim seem to say that the reason the women don't need shimur, the girls, because it's their derech to stay inside anyways. They don't pass.
I see the Rosh saying that, yeah.
The Ron says also in the Rosh and in the Farish.
I'm looking for the Ron. Where's the Ron? I was trying to find him.
At the very end of...
he's giving gears here, I see. Okay. They don't stroll around outside. Okay, so they all say because women stay inside, they're more tanua, there's no need to really watch over them. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Ulman damar schar shimur, the one who holds the schar you pay a Rebbe for Tanakh is to watch over the children. My time alo amar schar pizuk tamim. So why don't they say the schar is for teaching pizuk tamim? Kesavra, this is what the Ron alluded to us before. Kesavra pizuk tamim deraisahu. This man damar Rav holds that schar pizuk tamim is deraisa, and damar Rabbi Ika bar Abin amar Rabbi Chananel amar Rav man. We'll bring a pasuk in a second. We'll bring the right just one for a moment, just to fill in the blanks. What it means to say is that since this man damar holds that pizuk tamim is a din deraisa. So just like you can't teach psukim, you can't teach pisuk tamim either, because it's all part of the derises. And the only thing left over to get schar for is schar shimur. Now how do they deal with the problem of banos, though? I'm not sure. So what's the source that pisuk tamim, this idea of trup, is considered deraisa? So my dechse, what does the pasuk mean when it says vayikru b'sefer toras alokim mifurash v'shum seichel v'avinu b'mikra vayikru b'sefer b'mikra? Fine, that's the whole pasuk. Where is this pasuk found?
Nehemiah.
Okay. So this pasuk, what does it mean? Vayikru b'sefer Torah Selkim ze mikra. That's Tanakh. Mefurash ze targum. Vishum seich el apsukim. These are the bricks. Vayavinu b'mikra zu pisuk tamim. Amrile elu mesoros. Some say it refers to the trap. Others say it refers to the mesoros. What does that mean? Let's look at the Ran here. The Ran says vishum seichel elu hapsukim. What does that mean? Nekudos hamafsikos bein pasuk lepasuk. The breaks, the periods. V'karilei shum seichel. Why is it called shum seichel? Sha'yedein adam mevin amikra. If it's a run-on sentence, you're not going to understand what's going on. So therefore, it gives seichel kifi tenuos hatamim. Based on... Oh, wait a second. Kedamar per kam dechagiga nafka minil pesuke tamim. Wasn't pesuk tamim something different? How do they interpret pesuk tamim? Is it not trap? Maybe that's wrong on that.
Cantillation?
Yeah. Okay, I thought the Ron here is saying, either way, he says you need periods to have obviously understand. That's why it's called Shum Seichel. The way, I'll just say as an aside here, the Gra has an amazing shot as to the way the Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. Ever hear this Gra? Chlok is the Gemara in Gittin. I always look to you when I think of Gittin, because I know that's your favorite, I think. Either that or Brachas. How is the Chumash given over? So one opinion thinks it was given either like once at the end, or there were big like three or four machlokas shown, four or five big events that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything from that point. What he missed, let's say Kabbalah Satorah, he wrote everything from before that point. And then let's say another big event was brachos and klalos on the Har Grizim, Har Evil. Another big event, he wrote everything from there that he missed until Har Sinai. That's Chasuma Chasuma, and then at the end he wrote the rest of it. Others say Megillah, Megillah, Nisa. Every single event as it happened, he wrote down what happened. Each parak he wrote down as it happened. That's a simple machlokas, and then there's a big range how to understand that machlokas. And then it ends up being a big discussion who wrote the last eight psukim. Was it Moshe? Was it Yeshua? The Gemara in Babasa says that really Moshe wrote it bedima. He wrote it with tears. So Gras Medayik, beautiful. Quotes a pasuk. The word used in Babasa is dima, dalin mem ayin. The word dima with as a tear is dal mem ayin he. It's dal mem ayin means it's a mixture. Damua, lashon damua, is a mixture. Moshe Benu was given everything. They both elu elu divrei Elokim chayim. He was given a chasuma chasuma. He was given the entire Tanakh at one time at Kabbalah Satorah. But it wasn't separated with words, or there was no spaces. It was all one long run-on sentence, one word. And then he had to go back, Megillah, Megillah, as each event unfolded, he went back and was able to decode each space and came in. So what it means that Moshe Benu wrote the last eight psukim b'dima, he didn't decode it because he didn't know what happened yet. He wrote them. He wrote them like the one opinion says he wrote them. He wrote all eight psukim, but he didn't space them properly. So they're both true. So that's the same thing here also, that if you didn't have any psukim, if you didn't know breaks rather than the sentences, it'd be one long run-on sentence, it wouldn't have any seichel. Here too also, that's what the pshat of the Agra is. It's an amazing, amazing pshat, I think. Okay. Anyways, what's a misoros? Says the Ran, misoros are mashin nimsar b'misora. That which was given over through misora, the Ran doesn't really give any examples. Maybe kri ksivs, perhaps, whether it's a vav, a missing vav, sukos, sukas, something like that. Anyone on the side give any examples? Yeah, the Rush says misoros are chaseros v'yaseros. Extra words, letters rather, missing letters. Okay. And back to the Gemara now. So we see from here what we just brought from this pasuk in Nechemia is that the concept of pisuk tamim is a din deraisa, and therefore you cannot take schar for teaching that. The only schar left to for Rebbe to teach of teaching Tanakh could be schar shimur. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak says mikra sofrim v'iter sofrim v'krayon. All those things he just listed are all halach mosh mesinai. So what are all these things? So firstly, the Gemara says mikra sofrim. What's mikra sofrim? Eretz Shemaim Mitzrayim. What does this mean? Is there a Ran here? The Ran says, you see the Ran, this is, let's take the Rans from the first medium wide line down. Mikra sofrim. Hakriya shemasu lanu harishonim shenikru sofrim. The earlier generations were called sofrim. They were the ones who wrote the Sifrei Torah. They were called sofrim. Vite sofrim referred to tevos yiseros, extra words shenichtavu liyafos alashom. They added some words into to beautify the language. Venikros iter lefishein ma'atur neshalashon. It beautifies it. We'll see examples of this. Krayin v'lo ksivin tevos hamid nikros v'lo nichtavos. Words that are read but not actually written inside. We have examples sometimes there's no word written, but you have the Masorah, you're supposed to say a word there. And Ksivin Lokarin Shinichtvos Ve'enon Nikros. We have examples where they're written, but you're supposed to omit them. And Halach Moshe Sinai, Kach Kiba Moshe Misinai Umasaliso. There's a certain Masorah we have. And the Gemara goes on to bring examples. So the Ran says the first example is Mikra Sofrim Eretz Eretz. Shekashiesh Bo Esnachta Nikra Eretz Bekomet. It's called Aretz. As we know, an Esnachta and also at the end of a Pasuk, an Eretz turns to Aretz. Or Lechem turns to Lochem. Or Geffen turns to Goffen. So all those things, that's what Mikra Sofrim means. They change the Pisak Tamim, the Trup, changes the Nekuda slightly. So the examples that the Gemara brings are Eretz Shemaim Mitzrayim. Eretz is Aretz. Shemaim, what does Shemaim become? Shemayim versus Shemayim. There's a kamatz under the mem also.
Mitzrayim versus Mitzrayim.
Uh-huh. Are you a Balkari?
Mm-hmm.
No. Not really. A little bit. But okay, that's what's going on. Okay. So Shemayim and Mitzrayim. Fine. And then the Gemara says, Itter Sofrim. What's this? The beautifying of the language. The Gemara
says here, instead of Shemayim, you might say Shamim.
Uh-huh.
Or instead of Mitzrayim, it's Mitzrayim.
So this is telling you
that it's Mitzrayim.
Who said the rush? Yeah, there we go. Okay, I see that. Okay. So the next example, the next series of examples are Iter Sofrim, the beautifying of the language. What are the examples of this? Achar Tavaro, Achar Telech, Achar Tesof, Kid Musharim, Achar Nognim, Tidkoscha, Kare, Kale. So what's going on here? These are the extra words here that are trying to beautify the language. So let's see if we get some explanation here in the Ran. The Ran says the first Y line down. Itter sofrim achar tavaru achar telchu achar tasof kidmu sharm achar nogin. What's going on? Kol hani achar all these examples, these usages of the word acher are musarim, they're extra hin. Venon elo teferes haloshin, only to beautify the language. Dehavilei lemichtav sadu livchem v'tavaru, could have left, had a very nice pasuk without the word acher. Tesagir shivas yamim v'teosif, kid musarim v'nogdim. El shenichtav l'teferes haloshin. These words, the added word acher is coming to make it a little bit clearer. Now, is the Gemara indicating that these are words that the Sofrim actually added in? Is that what's being indicated here? That seems to be an indication, right?
Sounds like they added in later.
Right, these are maybe some of the examples of the things they added in. Okay. And then also the word Tikaska Karekel, that too, the letter Chaf is extra. It could say Tikaska Hare, it says Kihare, to make things a little bit clearer. That too is something that they added in. This requires a little bit more Hesber, but we'll leave it at that. Then the Gemara says, Karin v'loksivin, certain words that were said, but not actually written. So what's the comment here? But we're going to ignore the grah for now. Paras dibelechto. Where's this pasuk?
Shmuel.
Pras. Okay, so what's going on here? Pras dibelechto. Ish kasher yishal. Ish b'davar helokim. Boim. The nivnis Allah, the fleita, as to hug a lot of these. Wow, okay, a lot more than I thought. So let's read through the Ran here. See the Ran here around 6-7 lines up. Karin v'lo k'sivin pras t'belechto b'shmuhu. This is a pasuk found in Shmuel. L'hashiv yado b'nahar pras, pras kari v'lo k'siv. So it says nahar pras pras. Sounds like it says the word pras twice, but we only read it one time. Is that what's going on here?
The word
pras is written there, but we don't read pras when reciting these pesukim. And then we have another pasuk in Shmuel, ish de kasher yishal, ish b'darva elokim. So the word, even though the word ish is there, we don't read it. And then
it's not there, but we read it.
Oh, it's not there, but we do read it. Okay. Then we have ba'im, another pasuk ba'im that appears in Yirmiyah, which again it's not there, but we recite it. And another word, Nivnisa, another pasuk found. No, actually, the same pasuk. Ba'im in the word Nivnisa. And the pasuk that says, Hine Yamim Ba'im Num Hashem Nivnisa Ha'ir Lav, that word is not, the word Ba'im is not found in the pasuk, but we still recite it. Then we have the word La, another pasuk in Yirmiyah, De Pleita. So what's going on? The pasuk there is, Hashmio El Bavel Rabim, Kol Darche Kashish Chanu Aleha Saviv El Yihi. And La is not there, but we recite it anyways, Yihi La, Pleita. And then the pasuk, the word S, which is extra in the pasuk in Rus, it says, Hugad li kol asher asis. And the word S is extra, not there, but we say it anyways, S, chamoseich. And then we have the pasuk, a lie that's found in the Rus of the Hagora, and the pasuk says, Vatomer, elea kol asher tomru. A lie is not there, but we recite it anyways, Ese, vateire de Hagorin, vatas kol asher tzivata, chamosa. And then finally, a lie appears in the pasuk Rus, da saorim, it says, Batomer Shesh Hasorim Heila Nasan Li Kiyamar, and the word a lie is added in there. El Tavoi Reikam El Chamosech. Halein Karin Vloksiv. These are all the examples of things that are said even though they're not actually written. So I guess we'll stop here. Why? Why? I'm not sure. That's Halach Moshe Sinai. There's no why we could give for that. A couple of these were from Yirmiyah. It's an amazing at Barbanel. I'm not sure one of these things will be publicized.